1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Paul is writing to believers. I want to make sure I remind you of that every week, that he's writing to believers. He's writing back to strengthen their faith, to remind them of the commitment that they had made to follow God and to follow him. He reminds them by telling them to focus on Christ. He has heard about the chatter that's going on between the people, that they are separating themselves according to how they heard the gospel. You know, some attached themselves to Paul, others to Apollos. And Paul continually steers them back to Christ. He keeps their focus on Christ and not upon himself, not upon any man. He says Christ is not divided, and he is the only one who saves. He's the only one who saves. God has inspired him to tell them and to tell us, I believe, that if we grow spiritually, and all of us ought to desire to grow. I mean, we really ought to. That if we are to grow, then we must do it God's way. We have to change our diet. We have to move from milk to meat. We have to start chewing on the Word of God. Get to know him more than the basics. Be purposeful in our plan to get to know God. Set aside time for him. That's what he means. And I tell you what, when we don't set aside time for God, then we see our lives change. We see our focus change. We see our heart attitudes shift. And that's not what God desires. He wants us to chew on the Word, to know him better. We also have to add some exercise to our faith. We need to evidence to those who look on that we are indeed children of the Most High God. We must make the decision that we will no longer cater to our flesh. And that's what God is talking about here. That we won't cater to our flesh anymore. Because you know what our flesh says? You don't need to read the Word. You don't need to get to know God. You're all right just like you are. How about we go and do this? How about we go and do this? God says, you know what? You need to not cater to your flesh.
Amen.
Instead, he says, we need to listen to the Word of God. And we need to move through life with a godly conscience so that we might say and to display that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's what God wants. He wants us to be able to say it and say it with confidence. Mm-hmm. That Lord, your word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. I will go, Lord, where your word leads me.
Amen.
I will go, Lord, where I believe that you will be pleased with me. To grow spiritually, we must not lose sight of the main thing, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We cannot grow if we take our eyes off of the author and finisher of our faith. We cannot idolize anything or anybody. That's what Paul was saying. Nobody and nothing You know, we can set up an idol in our lives if we want to. We can set up an idol in our pastor if we want to. But God says that's not the plan. We cannot idolize anything or anybody. Our faith has to be in the person of Christ and Christ alone.
Amen.
You know, that seems to be something that keeps coming back to me. Christ and Christ alone. I mean, it's just like it keeps reoccurring. And I think if I keep saying it to myself, I keep reminding myself that I will not get off track.
Amen.
It is Christ and it is Christ alone.
Amen.
You know, in my study this week, I came across a verse that I want to share with you. I put it in the bulletin there. Hopefully you'll take a look at it. I called it a faith-building scripture that we can memorize. And it's 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6. This is kind of off the path of my message, but he says, "But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we are by him." Man, that spoke to my heart this week. I wanted to share it with you. But what God is saying to us here, guys, is that we got to want to grow. We got to want to grow. We got to do all that we do, remembering that it is through Christ and Christ alone that it's all possible if we seek to please God. Spiritual growth is not just going to happen. You know, we got to set some goals for ourselves, and the Christian's goal ought to be, as we studied last week, to be laborers together with God. To be laborers together with God, that we seek out God's will for our lives and do it. That's it. That we seek out God's will and we do it. And walking with God and working for God is not a place for competition. There's no competition in serving for the Lord. He said, but cooperation for the common goal, increasing the kingdom of God for the glory of God. So diet and exercise, focus and goals in order to grow spiritually. And when we get that down, then we're ready to move forward. And unless we get that down, we stand at jeopardy of not increasing the kingdom of God for the glory of God, but seeking glory for ourselves. And worst of all, we stand in jeopardy of building improperly on the foundation, which is Christ. You know, I like the way Paul described himself in verse number 10 of our 1 Corinthians 3. He says he's working according to the grace of God, which was given to him. He says, as a wise master builder, he said, I laid the foundation. And another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. He laid the foundation, I should say, and expects that others will build upon it. But he gives us a warning, let every man take heed how he builds thereon. Again, Paul is talking to believers. He's talking to you and I. He's talking to us about, with both counsel and a warning, about staying true to the word of God, I believe. God's word has to be enough. God's word has to be enough. What he's telling us is to teach and preach the word of God.
Yeah.
Preach the word, the doctrine of God, rightly dividing the word of truth and God's promises. Teach, preach, and live unwisely. And God promises us that we won't be rewarded, but we'll suffer some regrets. And those are the two points I have for my message today, is that God promises us rewards when we build on Christ's foundation wisely. And he promises us that we will suffer regrets if we do it and not according to God's plan. So let's look at that. Build wise and see rewards. That's my first point. And that really goes back to 1 Corinthians 3:11. Let's read that again. He says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest or made known, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now, first of all, it's important to note that in verse number 12, God shows us two different versions of working for the Lord. He says there's gold, there's silver, and there's precious stones. And then there's wood, there's hay, and there's stubble. And we're going to look at those separately. But first of all, he says in verse number 11 that for an other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul writes with the purpose, again, of strengthening our faith. And it is as if Paul writes, be not deceived. There is but one way to God's glory. And there is only one way to truly enjoy the day-to-day living and life, and that is through Christ. You know that I believe that Christians are the only ones who really know how to enjoy life, because we know that this is not all there is to life. So we can enjoy the moment of this life, and we can know that when this life is over, we're going to have an even better life. That even the best day that we experience does not even compare even a little bit to what it's going to be like for us when we stand in God's glory. We're the only ones that know what living is all about. We're the only ones that know what living is all about. Well, I believe the apostles understood after sitting at Jesus' feet that he was indeed the way and the truth and the life, and that no man could come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And it was most likely not always easy to declare this message when they were so often oppressed and threatened, but to be wise master builders, to be building on Christ's foundation, they had to stand on the truth. And so do we. Now, I want to show you something about Peter and a challenge for Peter. I think we've used this illustration a couple times, but it is still quite appropriate. Look in Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4, Peter was challenged by the Sadducees and the priest after preaching and healing an impotent man. But what I like about this account of Peter and what happened with him there is that they were not shaken in their faith. They stood. They stood because they knew that what they were saying, doing, was right according to the word of God. Now let me show you. I'm going to read a little bit more of this but I want to make sure I give you the whole point. Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1, page 803 in the Pew Bible. Sorry, I don't think I said that. Acts chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." Now, what this shows me is that, you know what, even though the people were grieved with what the message that Peter and the apostles were bringing, they did not change their message. They did not massage it so that it would be pleasing to the Sadducees and the priests and those who were looking on. Instead, the Bible says, they taught the people and they preached them through Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. And that is being wise in what we teach and what we preach. And that is going to be looked upon by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as gold, as precious stones, and as silver that we can lay before him and that will be able to withstand this trying by fire. And look what verse number 3 says. "And they laid hands on them and they put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. This is why Christ tells us that there is no other foundation. This is why he tells us that we need to be consistent. Because if we will present the word, what did we study last week? He has already made the fields white unto harvest. They just need to hear the gospel. And here's the evidence. And it says, "And they heard, and here was 5,000 that came to know Christ." Even though the Sadducees and the priests, they were still in opposition. Verse 5 says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner.'" I want you to know that Peter said, "I'm going to build on the foundation that Christ has already laid." He says, "And I want you to know that no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter what you encourage, I'm going to stand because I know that the doctrine, the word of God is true." And he says, "And I'm just going to build upon that.
Amen.
I'm going to preach it. I'm going to teach it. I'm going to build upon that." He says, "The stone that you disallowed, You tried to stop the plan of God, but you couldn't. And here I stand declaring that that stone has become the head. And he says in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
There is but one name that saves. There is but one foundation on which we should build, but we must be careful how we build thereon, because there will be either rewards or regrets. So I told you, verse 12 shows you the two ways to build, the right and the wrong. The right is described as gold and silver and precious stones. The right being to follow the Lord's command and to be about building the kingdom. That's really what this foundation is all about. It's about building the kingdom. You know, if Christ came and he laid the foundation, he gave the disciples a charge. He said, go ye and declare, tell the whole world, tell all the nations, tell them, declare the gospel, the good news. What were they to do? They were to build upon the foundation which had already been layered, which was Christ.
Amen.
That was the command. The right being to follow the Lord's command and to be about kingdom building. To be about kingdom building. And when Christ walked the earth himself, he gave us words of wisdom that said, in essence, build upon this foundation. Let's look in John chapter 15, page 794 in your pew Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In John chapter 15, Jesus gives us a great example as to what his expectation was, what will be found acceptable to him when we stand before him. He says in verse 1 of John chapter 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now that's the whole purpose. He's talking about kingdom building. He's talking about laying your work on the foundation that he has already set aside for us, that he's already established for us. He says, if we bear more fruit, he will purge us. He will give us a larger, if I might put it this way, he will give us a larger area whereby we can serve him so that we might be able to bear even more fruit. He says, now you are clean, verse 3, through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Be careful how you build thereon. He says, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. What is he talking about here? He's talking about our gold. That's our gold. That's our silver. That's our precious stones. That we might bring more fruit. That we might be about building the kingdom.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
That's what God is calling upon us to do. He says one day we're going to stand before him and we're going to have to be accountable for how we use what he had given to us. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Verse 6, he says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. And do you see the relationship between what Paul said and what Christ said? Be careful what you build on. He says, because if we build stuff that's wood, hay, and stubble, he said, when it's tried, it's just going to be burned. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. He tells us that we got to be about building a kingdom if we want to build on his foundation and if we want to build something that we will one day be rewarded for. He tells us it's not about our stuff. In other words, guys, I think what God tells us, you know what? If our focus is one day that we'll have a brand new building, then our focus is all messed up.
Amen.
Because you know what? We won't be able to put we won't be able to put stones and pews and crosses and all of that and lay it before God and it would stand the fire. We can't say, God, I built a nice building so that I might one day go out and increase the kingdom.
Amen.
We got to be about fruit. We got to be about fruit. We got to be about bringing precious stones. And what is more precious? If the Bible tells us precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of a saint. And what could be more precious that we could lay before God and say, Lord, I did what I did for you. You know, and it's not about bragging, it's not about competition, but God will say, because of your work, that one is here today. Man, that's a precious stone. That's a gold. That's silver. That's God's expectation. So God speaks about our building rightly upon the foundation. But then he talks about carrying forth the gospel. He tells those who are carrying forth the gospel that we need to do a good work. Now, I want to show you because I know that God is speaking to all of us uniformly about what his expectation is. Look in 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, that's on page 897 in your pew Bible. 1 Peter chapter number 5. We'll begin reading at verse number 1. So for the elders, what did he say to show that there is, that God is not prejudiced, that God does not say position means anything. God says it's got to be about building his kingdom. Amen. He says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God, which is among you. He says, all right, this is how you build on the foundation that Christ has laid. He says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. He says, here's something that you can lay before me. Here's your gold. Here's your silver. Here's your precious stone. He says, it will not fade away. Then he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. Amen. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Then he tells us to find our place and get in it and serve it, building on his foundation. I think we see that in Ephesians chapter 4. Flip over there if you would. Ephesians chapter 4, page 865. First and Second Corinthians, Galatians, and Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning at verse number 1. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Translation, there is but one foundation, that is Christ. All right, now he tells us, now he says, you got to build on that foundation. Here we go. He says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And boy, that's some good stuff right there. I hadn't caught that before, but you know what? Paul says about himself back earlier in 1 Corinthians 3, you don't have to turn there. I'll talk to you about it. He says, we're laborers together with God. He says, we are God's, that the people are God's husbandry, and we are God's building. And he talks about, he says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Okay, so he says, now I got that. That's what he's done for me. But now when he was talking to the church at Ephesus over there, he's telling us, he says, I don't want you to miss out on the fact that God's grace is sufficient for all of us. He says, now, God has given all of us a plan. He says in verse 7, but unto every one of us, here's Paul not taking any spotlight on himself. He says, every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Amen. All of us. All of us are ministers. All of us can take forth the word. All of us can collect gold and silver and precious stones for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That's what God is talking about. He says, all right, so what do we do now? What do we do with it? He says in verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascendeth up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some. Here we go. Here's how we get in. Here's how we build on the foundation. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. But he said he did it all for one purpose. There is but one foundation. All of it is for the perfecting of the saints. All of it is for the work of the ministry, so that we might be laborers together with Christ. Y'all see it? You see the connection? He says, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Amen.
Oh, that we could just build on that one foundation. Man, that's good right there. And there will be a reward. There will be a reward. There will be a reward when we do it God's way. He says there's going to be gold and silver and precious stones that are built upon this foundation. And God is faithful. You know, the Bible tells us that God is faithful. And you know, I like it when God shows us things about his character. And one thing about God's character he shows us is that we can depend upon his word, that we never, ever, ever have to doubt him. If he's made a promise, then he'll keep it. And he says, if you will work, if you will build on that foundation, guess what? I'm not going to forget your work. Now, I look at Hebrews chapter 6. That verse just came and just pounded me in my head when I was trying to get this together, that God wanted me to remember, wants us to remember, that if we're faithful to do what he wants us to do, he's not going to forget us. Hebrews 6 is on page 886 in the Pew Bibles. Hebrews chapter number 6. Skip down to verse number 10. He says this about our God, the God that we serve. He says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Now, if you need a reason, if you need to be encouraged so that you can know that that the work that you're doing, God is not going to forget, then Hebrews 6 is a great one to remember.
Amen.
Now, God is not telling us we need to work so that we might be saved, but he's saying that we need to work as evidence that we are saved. We need to have a heart like he has, and we need to want to see other people have the same joy that we have. And he says, and God won't forget it. He's not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love. You know what he said? Like he said to the elders back in 1 Peter, he says, not because you want to rule over people, but because you want to love them. You want to do it willingly. He says he's not going to forget what you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and you do minister. Verse 11, he says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you be not slothful, because we got to stand before God, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, and I love this passage of scripture, because when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. He says, if you need to be able to depend upon something, he said, you don't need it in writing because you have heard it from God himself. He says, here's the covenant promise that I've made, saying, surely, surely blessings I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. What does that mean? We don't know how long it's going to be. But he says, as long as it takes, we need to keep on serving. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled to refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Where is the foundation? It is Christ. It is Christ. And we are to go forth in the example set for us by Christ, in the wisdom of God. And God promises that he's going to fill our treasures. He's going to reward us. He's going to reward us. And I believe that with the joy of doing his will today, and by allowing us to be able to stand before him unashamed, are the two ways that God's going to reward us. One reward we're getting already. The reward of seeing the lives of people change. That's a reward right now. The reward of seeing God change our own lives. Isn't it a blessing when you see how God gives you understanding in his word? How God changes your tongue, changes your will, changes your way? Man, that's the promise. That's building upon the foundation the right way. But God says if we will just stay the course, if we will walk in his wisdom, be wise in his ways, he says he's going to fill us with treasures. One last thing about this and we'll move on. Look in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, page 490. Proverbs 8. Job, Psalms, then Proverbs. Proverbs 8. Just a few verses starting at verse number 13. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, speaking of wisdom, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. I like that. Durable riches and righteousness. Not earthly stuff. Not stuff that will that we can't hold on to. But when we're wise in the ways of God, God gives us durable riches.
Amen.
Durable righteousness. He says, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause them that love me to inherit substance. And that's the part I like. That I may cause those that love me, that love godly wisdom, to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. That's God's promise. That's the reward that God promises to us if we will build wisely on the foundation, which is Christ. But God says, all right, there's also another option that we might also build unwise. He said, we might build unwise and suffer regrets. So let's go back to our text again. Again, in verse number 11, he says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made known, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And verse 15 says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So building unwisely, improperly, is described in our text as that wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble generally speak about that which will not last. When we stand before God, we do not want to offer him that which will not bring him the greatest glory. That's what God is saying. I want you to bring to me that which will give me the greatest glory. That would evidence that you really understood my word. You understood my plan for you. You know, Christian is an action word. And it's an active life. And we must be useful for the Lord. I think that's a requirement. We got to be useful. And God gives us a great illustration that I was kind of nervous about time. I broke it into two so I could sneak out on one of them if I needed to. But let's look at Matthew chapter 25. God gives us a great illustration about how our life is to be active. That's on page 725 in your pew Bible. Matthew chapter 25, he gives us a great illustration that shows us that fellowship is an active word. And that fellowship is an active life. So in Matthew chapter 25, let's start at verse number 14. If we have time, then we'll read through to verse 40. I think we might. Matthew 25, beginning at verse number 14, here's Christ giving a parable. He says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." If I might jump some application for you, what God is telling us here, he gave some apostles, he gave some pastors, some teachers, some evangelists. He gave us all gifts according to our different abilities, okay? And that's what he's saying right here. According to his several ability, straightway he took his journey. He said, "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more.' His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Of thy Lord, excuse me. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Amen. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them.' His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.' Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine.' His Lord answered and said unto him, 'Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I soweth not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then I, at my coming, I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, what I want you to see there is that Christ is telling us this. He says, "I'm giving you all different abilities. I'm giving you all the expectation that you will use what I have given so that you might bring glory to my name. But if you use it poorly, if you use it on things that will not gain you anything, or you take it and you hide it," he says, "then God will not be pleased. What will you have to present before him?" Absolutely nothing. Now, he says, cast that unprofitable servant away. He says, cast him into darkness. Now, we know that in our text, God is talking to saved people. What did he say there? He says, his work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. God's not talking about stealing away your foundation, but God is talking about, wow, when we stand before him, what will we be able to present before our Lord and say, "Lord, look what I've done for you. Look what I've done for you." He says everything else is just going to burn and be gone away. Now, I think we have enough time. Let's look at the rest of this beginning in verse 31. He says in verse number 31, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. What is the application Christ has given us here? Woods, hay, stubble, gone. Serve him in the ability that he has given to us. He says, no regrets, only rewards. In both illustrations, God shows the regret of not have served him. The guy with the one talent. He saw his Lord and he had regrets. The goats who were separated on the left, he says, they didn't serve me because they were looking for other stuff. They were collecting stuff. That's the part we got to see, the other side of that. They were collecting stuff. And when they came time to be with the king, presented before the king, they had nothing to show. No precious stones, no gold, no silver. God says, all right, he is telling us that we will be judged. We will be judged. Not for salvation on that day, but that our works will be judged. And that all those works that are not wisely done for the building of God's kingdom will be burned away. And the believer, the child of God, will not be unashamed. You know what God said in Ephesians? What was he doing? He says what God wanted to do is he wants to present us as a holy church without blemish and without spot before his Father. Well, how will we do that? We'll have to do his will. We'll have to build upon the foundation that Christ has already laid for us. We'll be able to do that without regret if we will follow through on the will and the way of God. God wants us to grow in him. He wants us to make wise choices in him and serve him so that when we see him, he will say to us, like that Lord in our parable, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. It all starts with making wise choices. It all starts with making wise choices. Why don't we close out in Psalm 18? I want to show you a couple things there about making wise choices, about putting our faith in the Father and in the plan that he has laid for us, that we establish who God is in our lives, and that regardless of what anyone else thinks, says, and does, that we're going to build on the foundation, which is Christ. And I believe that Christ is God. He has no beginning. He has no end. I believe that when David spoke of his Lord, he spoke of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And David, who is given credit for Psalm 18, beginning at verse number 1, here's what David said about our Lord. He says, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies, from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my tower. And I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death encompassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Now skip down to verse 20 for the sake of time. He says, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. You know, first of all, you got to establish who God is, and that's what David did in his psalm. He said, God, you're my everything. You know, you go back and you define all the words there in those first few verses of Psalm 1 and 2. I mean, of Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2. And you really see how David has called the Lord as everything. He says, he's my rock and he's my fortress. He's my deliverer. He's my God. He's my strength. I trust him. He's my buckler. He says, he holds me up. He's the horn of my salvation. He's everything. He's my high tower. He's my hiding place. And now he says, all right, Lord, I'm trusting you. And you know what? I know that God is a God who keeps his promises. And he said, the Lord rewardeth me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful, thou shalt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou shalt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust him. For who is God? Save the Lord. Or who is a rock? Save our God. Who is God? Jesus Christ. That's who he is. Who is Christ? He's God. Amen. Who is that rock? That foundation on which we should build. Jesus Christ. And if we build, if we're about building the kingdom of God, if we're about building the kingdom of God, if we're about being connected to the vine and being productive branches, then we're building wisely. And when we see God, we'll be able to lay our gifts before him. And these gifts, gold and silver and precious stones in the eyes of our God, will be found acceptable. And God will give us his reward. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful for how you have blessed us this morning with your word. I pray, Lord, that we might take to heart the counsel that you've given us through your word today, that we are to build wisely upon the foundation that has been laid for us by Christ, that we are to use the talents, Lord, the abilities that you have given us to be a part of the building of the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray that you might give us a heart for those who are without Christ, a heart for those who are in places of great confusion, those who are without joy. We might be encouragers and lift them up. I praise you, Lord, for your presence in our lives and what the understanding of your word that you've given to each one of us. Lord, I pray that every day we might become more and more hungry for your word, every day that we might chew on something even more difficult, and that every day that we might become stronger in our faith. Lord, I pray that you might keep us on the right track, yes, focused, yes, on the right thing. I pray that for us as individuals. I pray that for us as a church body. I pray, Lord, that we might be looking forward to the day that you might come and gather us all to yourself. Looking forward to it because we know you, because our names have been written in the book of life, because we have been living our lives according to your plan, because we have been building on the right foundation, Father, I pray. I praise you for the joy that we have in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.